It's 8:01 right here at Mater Dei Radio.
The U.S. bishops held extensive debate Thursday before voting on whether to draft a teaching document on the Eucharist at their annual spring meeting held virtually this week. While the text of a proposed Eucharistic document has not yet been drafted, an outline was provided by the bishops' doctrine committee in advance of the meeting this week. The document, if approved, would explain the Church's Eucharistic teaching on a number of points, including the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the importance of Sunday as a holy day, and the need for Catholics to live out the Church's teaching in their lives after receiving communion. Bishops supporting the vote to draft a document on the Eucharist cited the need for providing clarity and catechesis on the matter, citing polling that shows a lack of belief in the real presence among Catholics. They argued that all Catholics, including Catholic politicians, must be aware of the Church's teaching on worthiness to receive communion. Other bishops opposed the move to draft such a document, while arguing that addressing worthiness to receive communion, especially among pro-abortion politicians, the bishops would be seen as partisan actors. The vote on going forward with this document on the Eucharist takes place today.
Archbishop Alexander Sample of Portland released a statement on the reopening of Oregon and the return to Holy Mass. In part, it reads, "As Oregon continues to reopen, I encourage the faithful to return to Holy Mass and begin to engage more fully in the life of the Church. The dispensation from the obligation to attend Holy Mass on Sundays and solemnities remains in effect for all those who are vulnerable, sick, or have grave fears about contracting the virus. I ask those who make use of the dispensation to honor the Lord in another way that day by watching a live stream Mass, praying the rosary as a family, reading sacred scripture, or otherwise setting time aside to be with the Lord." And in a clarification from the Office of Divine Worship, this statement is not ending the dispensation to attend Sunday Mass and holy days of obligation for the Archdiocese of Portland.
The U.S. bishops also voted yesterday to advance two causes of canonization, one for Father Joseph Lafleur, a World War II military chaplain, and the other for Marinus Leroux, a merchant mariner who became a Benedictine monk. Father Lafleur is most remembered for his heroic service during World War II. He was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, and requested to be a military chaplain just before the outbreak of the Second World War. He was deployed to the Philippines and spent nearly 2.5 years as prisoner of war for the Japanese. Father Lafleur's nephew, Richard Lafleur, told CNA that men in prison camps with Father Lafleur testified that his character caused the conversion of about 200 men to Catholicism while in the prison camps. Father Lafleur ended up on a Japanese ship with other prisoners of war that was torpedoed unwittingly by an American submarine that did not realize the ship was carrying prisoners. He was last seen helping men out of the hull of the sinking ship, for which he was posthumously awarded a Purple Heart, a Bronze Star, and the Distinguished Service Cross twice for his acts. Father Lafleur's body was never found, but a shrine and monument exist at St. Landry Catholic Church where he grew up. And Brother Marinus Leroux, who also served in military efforts during wartime, served as a captain for a merchant marine vessel during the Korean War. Leroux was tasked with delivering military supplies to a port in North Korea where hundreds of thousands of soldiers and refugees were searching for safety from advancing communist forces. Arriving just before Christmas, Leroux came to discover the multitudes of people awaiting help, and he chose to unload all of the ship's weapons and supplies in order to provide space for as many refugees as possible on his ship. His ship, which was designed to serve around 50 passengers, sailed away from the coast with approximately 14,000 refugees on board. Leroux later discerned a religious vocation and entered St. Paul's Benedictine Abbey in Newton, New Jersey, taking the name Brother Marinus in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Brother Marinus lived a humble life, dishwashing, working in the gift shop, and serving his brother monks. Brother Marinus died October 14, 2001.
Well, Oregonians are asked to limit outdoor water use for things like watering lawns and filling swimming pools to extend a state's chlorine supply. A major electrical failure at a chlorine manufacturer in Longview, Washington, has created a critical chlorine shortage in Oregon that could affect the state's water supply, the Oregon Office of Emergency Management announced Thursday. Officials stressed that Oregon's tap water remains clean and safe to drink, and the public may continue continue to regularly use water for drinking, cooking, and bathing. State officials don't expect any immediate changes to the water quality, but they will be monitoring potential changes. They will also be looking into alternatives to chlorine for disinfecting water. Oregonians are asked to limit outdoor water use for things like watering lawns and filling swimming pools to extend the state's chlorine supply.
Yesterday, the United States Supreme Court decided unanimously in favor of Catholic Social Services in its lawsuit against the city of Philadelphia, ruling that the city violated the group's free exercise of religion. In 2018, the city of Philadelphia stopped partnering with the agency in its foster care program since Catholic Social Services would not certify the same-sex couples as foster parents on religious grounds. The city of Philadelphia argued that the policy constituted discrimination according to its non-discrimination ordinance and would no longer work with the group. In the ruling, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that, quote, the refusal of Philadelphia to contract with CSS for the provision of foster care services unless CSS agreed to certify same-sex couples as foster parents violates the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. CSS seeks only an accommodation that will allow it to continue serving the children of Philadelphia in a manner consistent with its religious beliefs. CSS does not seek to impose those beliefs on anyone else. Beckett, a religious liberty law firm representing Catholic Social Services in the case, stated that this is a huge victory for heroic foster moms and for religious freedom. It ensures that religious groups like Catholic Social Services, who serve kids regardless of their race, religion, sex, or sexual orientation, can continue their work.
Well, states across the country are scrambling to close their government offices Friday after President Joe Biden signed legislation establishing Juneteenth as a U.S. federal holiday. While June 19th, which commemorates the end of slavery in the United States, falls on a Saturday this year, governors across the country announced in quick succession a range of plans for their state offices Friday, the closest workday to the new holiday. Many states will give most public employees the day off, but government workers in other states like California will have to wait to feel the effect of the new law. On the federal level, the U.S. Office of Personnel Management announced in a memo that most federal employees would have Friday off. It was previously announced that Oregon would celebrate Juneteenth beginning in 2020, but definitely check with businesses before heading out on errands today. I did a quick check, and it does seem, too, that we will be receiving mail today, that is still in effect, that they will see that holiday next year. U.S. Fish and Wildlife apparently is closed down because the good deacons got the holiday.
Some good news. Oh.
And in sports, the safest way to hold the Tokyo Olympics is without any fans, the top medical advisor to Japanese government said in a report Friday. Dr. Omi's recommendations seem to put him at odds with organizers and the International Olympic Committee, with the Olympic opening just 5 weeks on July 23rd. Fans from abroad were banned several months ago, and organizers are to announce early next week if some local fans should be allowed. Reports say the government wants to allow up to 10,000 people at some sports and cultural events, and this policy is expected to be applied to the Olympics with smaller ceilings at smaller venues and differences for indoor and outdoor venues.
Good news out of Krakow, Poland today. A thief returned the relics of a 19th century Polish saint and personally apologized for taking them. St. Joseph's Church in Krakow announced today that the relics of St. Albert Chmielowski had been safely returned, saying, today, just before 7 a.m., the stolen relics of St. Brother Albert returned to our sanctuary. The perpetrator of the theft brought them personally and apologized for the situation. Thanks be to God, and thank you for your prayers. The parish reported the theft on June 11th and immediately asked the parish for prayers, saying, let us pray for the conversion and repentance of the perpetrator, it said on its Facebook page. St. Chmielowski is known as Brother Albert in Poland. He was born into nobility. He gave up that life and became a secular Franciscan, taking the name Albert, and founded the Third Order of St. Francis, Servants of the Poor, or the Albertine Brothers, and he also founded the Albertine Sisters, who organized food and shelter for the poor and homeless. Brother Albert died Christmas Day in 1916, and in 1949, future Pope John Paul II wrote a play about Brother Albert. Later then, as Pope John Paul II, he recalled that when he was considering his priesthood, he drew inspiration from Brother Albert's decisions to leave the world behind and take up a life of radical service. John Paul II beatified Brother Albert in 1983 and canonized him 6 years later in 1989. And his feast day is June 17th.
Wow.
So relics were returned just after his own feast day. So quite
perhaps
an amazing story.
Perhaps his intercession.
I think so.
It's time to find out what's going on in our Catholic community.
And coming up on June 25th at 7 p.m. is a holy hour for the eve of priestly ordination that is happening in person and live stream from St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception. Then on June 26th at 10 a.m. is ordination to the priesthood. Deacon Tony Galati and Deacon Randy Huang will be ordained to the priesthood. In person is by invitation, and we can all live stream it. I will be sure to add links to where you can find all this information, and you're going to find the details on our community calendar at materdayradio.com.
Part two of Brenda's conversation with Jerusalem Jones coming up after your forecast.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Best Buy in Town Landscape Supply. Since 1984, Best Buy in Town has been supplying the area with landscape products and services, including bark dust blowing, rock, soil, sod, and recycler of yard debris. Located at 2200 Cornelius Pass Road in Hillsboro. Online at bestbuybark.com or 503-645-6665.
Join Mater Dei Radio and Holy Cross priest Father Jim Gallagher in prayer with the morning offering.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for sin, for the intentions of all my friends and associates, and in particular, for the intentions of the Holy Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit materdayradio.com.
June is the month the Church dedicates to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Mater Dei Radio is committed to praying for your intentions through our three daily broadcasts of the celebration of the Holy Mass, the Sacred Mysteries of the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and a wide variety of inspiring spiritual reflections. We also take your specific intentions to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus through Mater Dei Radio's prayer hotline. Let us know how our dedicated team can pray for you by going to materdayradio.com or call the prayer hotline directly at 503-285-3737. That's 503-285-3737. Or click the prayer button on top of the homepage at materdayradio.com. Throughout the month of June, Mater Dei Radio will be praying for you as we lead souls into the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
It is 8:14 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, it's a beautiful Friday morning. It's going to give way to a sunny and warmer day, getting up to about 83 degrees today. Clear tonight, and then again lows in the mid-50s, and then Saturday, almost a repeat, highs in the mid-80s. Heat shows up Sunday with a high of about 93, and then Monday, even warmer, with a high of 98.
It is 56 degrees at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Sandy, Oregon.
And it's 58 degrees at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Battleground, Washington.
I am continuing now my conversation with friend of Mater Dei Radio, Steve Ray. Steve is joining me today because we are celebrating fathers. And as a father himself, he knows a thing or two about what it takes to raise sons and daughters, and especially what the Bible says and has shown us about the raising of children. Steve, thank you so much for staying with me today.
You're very welcome.
In our first half hour, we discussed about the role of fathers, what society is showing us and how it's changed over the years. In order to get back to those strong heads of household fathers, the way that God has ordained it, well, I think all we need to do is look back to Scripture. So I would love to talk to you a little bit about some of those stories, some of those great relationships that Bible tells us. And one of them, maybe I'd like to spring on you here, is the story of Esther Now, she had a relationship with her father, an adopted father. Can you maybe share a little bit about her story?
Well, yes, she was royalty, and she ended up saving the Jewish people at the time. And Esther, she is a strong woman because she had a strong father and a strong manly figure in her life, and that was a case where he instilled in her righteousness and justice and courage. Just to walk into the king's throne room unsummoned was a very courageous thing to do, because that could often bring about death. And because of that courage, and let's say she got it from her father, that she, and from God and her whole religion of the Jewish religion, that she was heroic. And people don't just become heroic. That's something. There's a saying that grace builds on nature. We have a certain nature and character, and then grace of God builds on that. And the whole idea of family and fatherhood instills us with these kind of characteristics. I know for me, my dad, not only was he courageous and strong, but he read me books about people who were courageous and strong and manly and heroes. And that's the story of Esther, too, and probably the classic one we have in Scripture, even though the man never says one word that we know of, is Joseph raising Jesus. Think of the kind of man Joseph must have been for God to say, that's the guy right there that I want to become the father of my son. And Jesus is the Son of God, and yet God the Father relinquished much of his rights of fatherhood and gave them to Joseph to raise his son. Just think of that kind of a man. I like to say that Joseph, not only we talk about him being righteous, that's the only adjective ever used about Joseph, mm-hmm. that he was a righteous man. He also was obviously faithful and strong. We could come up with a list as long as our arm. But I like to also say that Joseph was a manly man. Joseph, when I do men's conferences and talk about him, and I'm going to be giving a couple talks about him in the next couple months, I say Joseph was the kind of guy that could pick any man in the room up and throw you over the wall without even thinking about it, without even trying. He was a manly man made of him and Jesus, they were rock masons, is probably what they did for a living all day, 12 hours a day, cutting and shaping rocks. Just imagine how tough he was, and yet he was also tender-hearted. And in the Jewish culture, it was the father's job to educate and teach his son. I wonder, even example, if Jesus, when you hear his parables, if you're not hearing parables that Joseph told him. When you see Jesus, you're looking at Joseph in a way, because I have many of the characteristics of my dad. Many of the things my dad told me are the stories that I tell. Maybe Joseph taught him the Our Father prayer or those parables. But I think that Joseph may be one of the great examples of a father in Scripture.
Steve Ray joining us today as we celebrate our fathers. Steve, did fathers see their roles differently in the Bible when passing a legacy onto their sons? It does seem like in the stories that we read, there was more at stake.
Well, there was, and it's interesting that you bring that up now, because my wife and I are just going through chapter 48 and 49 of Genesis that I'm writing and just doing the last-minute tweaks in there. Jacob has his 12 sons, and he is giving them all a blessing. Even Joseph, who is the grand ruler of Egypt, the grand vizier under the Pharaoh only, one of the great superpowers at the time, he was with his father Jacob, an old, grizzled, dark skin from the sun, old man, shepherd. And here is Joseph, the vizier and the representative of the king of Egypt. And it says that Joseph bowed his face to the ground in front of his father, Jacob, the old shepherd. This gives an idea of the respect of fatherhood in Scripture, and in not just Scripture, but in ancient times, all the way up until modern times. That's the way the father was respected. And the blessing of the father was the most coveted thing a young man could have, is the blessing of his father, because it would give like a prayer or a prophecy of his life in the future. Fathers, it's not even possible to compare how fathers were viewed and respected and loved and honored in biblical and ancient times, not just biblical times, but in the ancient world outside of the Bible as well, outside of the Christian and Jewish religion, compared to what we see today and the denigration of masculinity and fatherhood today.
Steve, before we go, a celebration of the day. Now, your kids are grown, and perhaps maybe a barrage of phone calls will be sent to you to celebrate the day. For the rest of us, what would be a great way, in your mind, how we can celebrate fathers without maybe, you know, giving them another pair of socks or a tie or something else, but really celebrate them as the heads of our household?
I would think a great way to do that was to write your dad a letter and tell your dad what you think of him. Tell him that you appreciate that he gave his life for you, that he worked his life and had a career and did all of that to take care of you, the example that he gave you, him bringing you to the Lord. You know, fathers don't hear that from their kids very often. My book, Crossing the Tiber, which is a story of our conversion, was a letter written to my dad. And I wrote that letter to my dad to explain to him why I became a Catholic. And it started out with, "Dear Dad, you're the best father in the world, and I owe you an explanation of why I'm becoming Catholic." But I think that for a family, for a son or a daughter, to sit down and write a letter, even if it's just a simple one-page letter, just let your dad know how much you appreciate him. Say, "This is in lieu of a pair of socks. This is in lieu of a handkerchief I normally get you. I wanted to let you know how much I love you and appreciate you and all that you did for me." That would be a great Father's Day present.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. It's not more stuff that I think fathers want. It's their love and attention of their children.
Yep.
Steve Ray, we just have a moment left. I'm looking forward to the new book. You also have lots of resources available. Where can our listeners go to find more information about your work and your ministry?
Everything is at CatholicConvert.com. And by the way, we got pilgrimages coming up. We're heading to Israel again in September, a St. Paul cruise, all the biblical sites around the Mediterranean in October, three trips to Israel. And we're also doing, our trip to Wisconsin is sold out, but we have a trip also to St. Augustine, Florida, which is where it all began. The Catholic Church began in St. Augustine, Florida, 55 years before the pilgrims arrived. I didn't know that. This is new information coming out, so we're going there. So we've got a lot of things going on, books and movies and conferences and pilgrimages. CatholicConvert.com. And thanks so much for having me on, Brenda. It's been a pleasure talking with you again.
Oh, I appreciate your time so much. And again, that is Steve Ray. I will be sure to add a link to where you can get right to his webpage. And you're going to find the link on the podcast of this interview at MaterDeiRadio.com.
It is 8:23 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, if you want to find out some other things that are going around in your area, go to our website, MaterDeiRadio.com. Under the Get Involved menu, right at the top of it, you'll see our community calendar link. Deb just scours the world to find all the details that are happening for all the events that are happening in and around the Portland and in the Vancouver area, whether it's Catholic Community Services, Squeaky Clean Hygiene Drive, or Nocturnal Adoration, or all of the events going on with the ordinations this weekend. All those details and more for events coming up in your area are under the community calendar on our website at MaterDeiRadio.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco, family dentist, online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722. That's 503-252-1722.
Welcome to Catholic Bites 60 Seconds, where 2,000 years of faith and tradition is explained one minute at a time. I'm Father Tim Furlow of the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon, and today we're going to talk about your vocation, not to be confused with your wild time in Cabo 2 summers ago. Your vocation is what you're called to in this life. It comes from the Latin word vocare, which literally means to call out to somebody. And when it comes to us and our human life, the person doing the calling is God. He can call us to all kinds of stuff. The point is, our vocation is what we're called to be, not what we're called to do. Doing flows from being. Whatever you are determines what you do. And who better than God knows who we really are? Nobody, not even ourselves. So who better to trust when it comes to how we should live this human life? You want to be really happy? Don't get stressed out over every little thing you do. Instead, pray, "God, help me to be who you made me to be. Help me to live my vocation." I'm Father Tim Furlow, and this is Catholic Bites 60 Seconds.
Hello, I'm Kevin Doran. and I'm Carla Wehrman, co-host of Sunday Commentary.
Join us every weekend on Mater Dei Radio, Saturday mornings at 7 and Sunday mornings at 8, as we break down the scripture readings so you can better prepare to enter into the beauty and mystery of the Holy Mass.
It's fun, fast, and faith-filled. Let us share our love of the good news with you. Saturday mornings at 7 and Sunday mornings at 8 on Mater Dei Radio.
The bridge between your faith and everyday life.
The Morning Blend, Western Oregon and Southwest Washington's number one Catholic morning show. On the bridge between your faith and everyday life, Mater Dei Radio.
It is 8:26 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, as the heat turns up this weekend, Oregonians asked to limit water use. I'll have that story for you.
The bishops debated about debating, and then they advanced the causes of two new servants of God. So we're going to get into all that at the USCCB is getting in. Right after this, it's Matt Redman and Bless the Lord, and you're listening to Mater Dei Radio, leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord. It's 8:30 right here at Mater Dei Radio.
The U.S. bishops held extensive debate on Thursday before voting on whether to draft a teaching document on the Eucharist at their annual spring meeting held virtually this week. While the text of a proposed Eucharistic document has not yet been drafted, an outline was provided by the Bishops' Doctrine Committee in advance of the meeting. The document, if approved, would explain the Church's Eucharistic teaching on a number of points, including the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the importance of Sunday as a holy day, and the need for Catholics to live out the Church's teaching in their lives after receiving communion. Bishops supporting the vote to draft a document on the Eucharist cited the need for providing clarity and catechesis on the matter, citing polls showing a lack of belief in the real presence among Catholics. They argued that all Catholics, including Catholic politicians, must be aware of the Church's teaching on worthiness to receive communion. Other bishops opposed the move to draft such a document, arguing that addressing worthiness to receive communion, especially among pro-abortion Catholic politicians, the bishops would be seen as partisan actors. The vote to go forward with this document on the Eucharist takes place today.
Oregonians are asked to limit outdoor water use for things like watering lawns and filling swimming pools to extend the state's chlorine supply. A major electrical failure at a chlorine manufacturer in Longview, Washington, has created a critical chlorine shortage in Oregon that could affect the state's water supply, the Oregon Office of Emergency Management announced Thursday. Officials stressed that Oregon's tap water remains clean and safe to drink, and the public may continue to regularly use water for drinking, cooking, and bathing. State officials don't expect any immediate changes to the water quality, but they will be monitoring potential changes. They will also be looking into alternatives to chlorine for disinfecting water. Oregonians are asked to limit outdoor water use for things like watering lawns and filling swimming pools to extend the state's chlorine supply.
And yesterday, the United States Supreme Court decided unanimously in favor of Catholic Social Services in its lawsuit against the city of Philadelphia, ruling that the city violated the group's free exercise of religion. In 2018, the city of Philadelphia stopped partnering with the agency in its foster care program since Catholic Social Services would not certify same-sex couples as foster parents based on religious grounds. The city of Philadelphia argued that the policy constituted discrimination according to its non-discrimination ordinance and would no longer work with the group. In the ruling, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote, "The refusal of Philadelphia to contract with CSS for the provision of foster care services unless CSS agrees to certify same-sex couples as foster parents violates the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. CSS seeks only an accommodation that will allow it to continue serving the children of Philadelphia in a manner consistent with its religious beliefs. CSS does not seek to impose those beliefs on anyone else." Beckett, a religious liberty law firm representing the foster moms and Catholic Social Services in the case, stated that this is a huge victory for heroic foster moms and for religious freedom. It ensures that religious groups like Catholic Social Services, who serve kids regardless of their race, religion, sex, or sexual orientation, can continue their work.
The members of the Portland Police Bureau's Rapid Response Team, which has responded to civil unrest in the city over the past year, have left their voluntary positions on the team. All of the officers, sergeants, and detectives who were on the Rapid Response Team account for about roughly 50 members met Wednesday and voted to resign, the Bureau said. Despite not serving on the RRT, they are still sworn Portland Police Bureau members and will continue their regular assignments. The move to disband their own team came a day after a team member was indicted. He is accused of fourth-degree assault stemming from a baton strike against a photojournalist last summer.
Some good news out of Krakow, Poland. Today, a thief returned the relics of 19th-century Polish saint and personally apologized for taking them. St. Joseph's Church in Krakow, Poland, announced today that the relics of St. Albert Chmielowski had been safely returned, saying, "Today, just before 7 a.m., the stolen relics of St. Brother Albert returned to our sanctuary. The perpetrator of the theft brought them personally and apologized for the situation. Thanks be to God, and thank you for your prayers." The parish reported the theft on June 11th and immediately asked the parish and prisoner and others for prayers on their Facebook page, saying, "Let us pray for the conversion and repentance of the perpetrator." St. Chmielowski is known as Brother Albert in Poland, and he was born into nobility in 1845. He lost his leg in an uprising against Russian forces, became an artist, but then gave up the need for all of that, abandoned the art world and his nobility, becoming a secular Franciscan and taking the name Albert. He founded the Brothers of the Third Order of St. Francis, Servants of the Poor, and the Albertine Sisters, who organized food and shelter for the poor and homeless. Brother Albert died on Christmas Day in 1916, and in 1949, the future Pope John Paul II wrote a play about Albert called Our God's Brother. And then, as Pope, John Paul II recalled that when he was considering the priesthood, he drew inspiration from Brother Albert's decision to leave the art world for a life of radical service. John Paul II beatified Albert in 1983 and canonized him 6 years later in 1989, and his feast day is June 17th, the day right before his own relics were returned.
He must have had some intercession involved in that.
Pretty awesome story.
Well, states across the country are scrambling to close their government offices Friday after President Joe Biden signed legislation establishing Juneteenth as a U.S. federal holiday. While June 19th, which commemorates the end of slavery in the United States, falls on a Saturday this year, governors across the country announced in quick succession a range of plans for their state offices Friday, the closest workday to the new holiday. Many states will give most public employees the day off, but government workers in other states like California will have to wait to feel the effect of the new law. On the federal level, the U.S. Office of Personnel Management announced in a memo that most federal employees would have Friday off. It was previously announced that Oregon will celebrate Juneteenth beginning in 2022, but check with businesses before heading out today. I think we're going to be getting our mail today to U.S. The federals did not to stop
mail service delivery. Will continue today.
That's right. And in sports, once again, the U.S. Olympic trials for track and field have landed at Hayward Field in Eugene and begins at noon today. It's the fourth consecutive time the University of Oregon's track stadium has staged the sports Olympic qualifying meet, but much has changed in the 5 years since the last U.S. trials in 2016. The new Hayward Field, which has shed its historic label in a complete remake said to cost more than $200 million. And rising vaccinations and dropping infection rates in Oregon means approximately 9,000 fans will be allowed inside the nearly 12,500-seat stadium. Former U of O pole vaulter Cole Walsh says Eugene is the only place I really have found track fans.
Nice.
We love our track and field in here, so good luck to all the athletes.
The U.S. bishops voted yesterday to advance two causes of canonization, one for Father Joseph Lafleur, a World War II military chaplain, and the other for Marinus Leroux, a merchant mariner who became a Benedictine monk. Father Lafleur is most remembered for his heroic service during World War II. Born in Louisiana and ordained a priest of the Diocese of Lafayette, he requested to be a military chaplain just before the outbreak of the Second World War. He was deployed to the Philippines, captured, and spent nearly 2.5 years as a prisoner of war of the Japanese. Father Lafleur's nephew, Richard Lafleur, told Catholic News Agency that men in the prison camps with Father Lafleur testified that his character caused the conversion of about 200 men to Catholicism, all while in the prison camps. Father Lafleur ended up on a Japanese ship with other prisoners of war that was torpedoed unwittingly by an American submarine that did not realize the ship was carrying prisoners. He was last seen helping men out of the hull of the sinking ship, for which he was posthumously awarded the Purple Heart, a Bronze Star, and the Distinguished Service Cross twice for his acts of bravery. Father Lafleur's body was never found, but a shrine and monument exist at St. Landry Catholic Church, where he grew up. And Brother Marinus Leroux, who was also involved in military efforts during wartime, serving as a U.S. Merchant Marine captain during the Korean War. Leroux was tasked with delivering supplies to a port in North Korea where hundreds of thousands of soldiers and refugees were searching for safety from advancing communist forces. Arriving just before Christmas, Leroux came to discover the multitudes of people who were awaiting help, and he chose to unload all of his ship's weapons and supplies in order to provide space for as many refugees as possible. Leroux's ship was designed to serve around 50 passengers. It sailed away from the coast with approximately 14,000 refugees on board. Leroux later discerned a religious vocation and entered St. Paul's Benedictine Abbey, in Newton, New Jersey, taking the name Brother Marinus in honor of the Blessed Virgin. Brother Marinus lived a humble life, dishwashing, working in a gift shop, and serving his brother monks Brother Marinus died October 14th, 2001.
It's time to find out what's going on in our Catholic community.
Join Nocturnal Adoration Society members from all over the Portland metro area in prayer before Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, June 19th at Holy Rosary Church in Northeast Portland at 7 p.m. And going on now through the end of this month is the 10th annual Squeaky Clean Hygiene Drive put on by Catholic Community Services of Lane County. This is a month-long opportunity to help the homeless and low-income families and individuals by donating items that will be given to Community Service Center clients. For links to see a full list of items needed, a map of participating locations, visit our community calendar under the Get Involved menu at materdayradio.com.
Well, time is running short. If you are planning to get a great gift for Dad for Father's Day, well, what does he want and what does he not want? Mm. We'll have that list for you in today's Second Cup coming up after forecast.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including the Tara Umara Children's Hospital Fund of Oregon. The TCHF has a 20-year history that is now focusing on the sustainability to support the long-term efforts of the mission in the Copper Canyon region of Mexico. Information is available on their website at tchforegon.org.
Most of us can recall a childhood memory of innocence and a peace that only comes from God. Yet with our busy schedules today, many families don't attend church weekly or spend much time teaching their children about God. So many families now are burdened by financial and family challenges, substance abuse, and other worries. But there is hope. Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their Christian faith are less stressed, financially stable, more compassionate, optimistic, healthier, and happier. Experience a positive difference in your life and for your family by coming home to your parish. Learn more by visiting CatholicsComeHome.org today. Here you may find answers to your questions and discover how Jesus and the sacraments will bless your family. There's no pressure or risk. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Best Buy in Town Landscape Supply. Since 1984, Best Buy in Town has been supplying the area with landscape products and services, including bark dust blowing, rock, soil, sod, and recycler of yard debris. Located at 2200 Cornelius Pass Road in Hillsboro. Online at bestbuybark.com or 503-645-6665.
Summertime is a great time to drive the open road, unless your old reliable wheels just aren't up to the task anymore. You know who could use that old car? Mater Dei Radio. You can donate most vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, RVs, and boats to Mater Dei Radio's vehicle donation program with the proceeds supporting a faith-filled Catholic broadcast, and in return, getting yourself a likely tax deduction. More information on our vehicle donation program at materdeiradio.com.
It is 8:44 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, it's a nice, cool morning, but it's going to warm up to about 83 degrees today. Sunny the whole day through. Keep your sunscreen on and your shades ready. Clear tonight, down into the mid-50s. Saturday is looking to be almost a repeat of today. Sunny with a high in the mid-80s. The heat shows up Sunday, getting up to about 93 degrees, and then even warmer Monday, up to about 98.
Currently, it is 61 degrees in my backyard where the Good Deacon is probably having a second cup of coffee.
Nice. It is 62 degrees at Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Northeast Portland.
Out of coffee? No need to worry. Mater Dei Radio is brewing a second cup of the morning blend.
Oh, a second cup of coffee out in a cool patio right now. Doesn't that sound like a nice morning?
I'll take it, but I'm having fun right here.
Oh, of course, always a fun day here at Mater Dei Radio.
I do have my first cup still that I'm nursing, so.
Perfect.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, so it's going to be a weird weekend. Lots going on. Of course, what did I say? Summer solstice begins at 8:30 on Sunday evening. So that's Sunday's the first day of summer.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel like it for sure, because it's going to be in the 90s.
Feel like it, that's for sure.
Which is crazy. But yeah, and get ready for that, because it just goes up from there. We're going to be breaking some records on Monday for sure, they said.
Probably.
Getting up to around 98 degrees. I don't think we're going to see the triple digits, but are you going to really be able to tell the difference between 98 and 100 degrees? I don't think so, because I don't plan on being out in it.
See, I now have to issue a correction. According to weather.com, 99 degrees now on Monday.
Oh, it's ticked up a little bit. So we're toying with that triple. It is going to be tough. And then also Friday, it's Father's Day, the day that we get to, on Sunday, going to be Father's Day. Mm-hmm. I spent the day talking with Steve Ray about fathers, fathers and daughters, and fathers and sons. So it's going to be a great day to celebrate Dad. Mm-hmm. So I already have steaks in my refrigerator, because we are going to be grilling, of course, on Father's Day.
Nice.
And it's going to be 90 degrees. I'm going to send
what
our
better
father
than to do is stand out next to a hot a hot barbecue.
And grilling it. But I'll tell you what, we're going to grill outside, because we do not want that kind of heat, you know, cooking up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so we'll probably have some cool salads, some good steaks, and then just really enjoy Dad. So you've got short time now. If you were planning to get something for your dad,
it is down to the wire, people.
You're down to the wire. Yeah. You need to go get it done. So I got it on the internet, and I ran a few little questions on there. So I thought we'd talk about a little bit about what people are getting dads this year and what things dads do and don't want. So
I
that
like
way
it.
This will help you with your shopping. Mm. So first of all, as good financiers would always say, set your budget, right? Look and see how much you want to spend. Because the National Retail Federation said Americans will spend more than $2 billion for Father's Day.
Wow.
That's an average of $175 a person.
Wow.
That's a lot of money to spend on Dad.
Most dads I know, I'm not a dad yet, but I have one, and he would be a little upset if I broke the bank to get him a gift.
Okay.
Dads are usually concerned about the budget and keeping everybody on track. So definitely
track.
Don't
That's
break the budget.
That's a lot of money. Now, also take into consideration, though, all of the spending, meaning gift card, taking them out to dinner, going on a special event, something like that. So definitely include all of that. So that's
you could
about
get there
average.
Pretty quick. Yeah.
So here are some of the most popular gifts, though. If you're going to spend that $175, what are people mostly buying? Okay. Right off the bat, 60% will get a greeting card. Of course.
Mine already.
You know, Hallmark is full. All of the grocery stores, stationery aisles full of Father's Day things. So that's the most thing.
Yeah.
After that, 49%, nearly half, will get some kind of clothing item.
Okay. I see that. Yeah.
Stay away.
Don't get a tie.
From a ties. Stay away from the socks. But maybe a new, you know, brightly colored Hawaiian shirt for them to wear for the day. Some nice shorts. My favorite go-to is shoes. You know, those clothing items. Maybe a new set of sandals, because Scott's are looking pretty terrible. But he says they're his favorite.
You got to have a good broken-in pair of sandals.
I guess so. It's like that good chair.
Yeah, it's like the good chair, your favorite pair of jeans, you know.
Oh, man. 46% will have a special outing. Now, David and I, in our past conversations of special events and birthdays, that's what we like the most, is not stuff. Lord knows I don't need, God bless me, more stuff in my house, right? But special time with the family, being all together. Mm-hmm. That's what I think fathers really are looking for. And then beyond that, you know, things, the big things, like you would think, home improvement, electronics, even books or CDs, those are kind of lower on the list. Although tech items do seem to be kind of popular these days, they're really only about a quarter of what people are buying. So here's what dads say they want and don't want.
Okay.
According to another survey, twice as many fathers want a handwritten card compared to dads who want electronics. Right. So about 16% of dads said, yeah, nice electronic gadget would be something kind of fun. Well, about 30% of them say a handwritten card would be wonderful.
And think about that, too. I mean, when you get, who sends cards and letters these days? Very rarely.
Right.
And they always mean that much more when you get something that's handwritten like that.
Now, if you tuned in to Steve Ray's interview then, and the second half of that interview, I said, well, you know, what do you like to get? And he said, write a letter to your dad. And tell him what he means to you. It's so important. Last week when I had an opportunity to have my mom and dad in with me, my dad was on,
that was
second
fun.
Cup. I said, of all the things that I am most grateful for, the gift of my faith from my mom and my dad is number one. So let your parents know, let your father know this weekend, this is what is most important. And then other Father's Day preferences include tools. Now that is kind of higher up on the list as far as what you and dad say, you know, I'd like to have is some tools. Probably tools that they would enjoy, maybe if they're woodworkers, maybe not necessarily getting them a new rake or a new hoe or a new weed puller.
Maybe not something that points to the honey-do list. Yeah, that's probably...
That would be like getting mom a new vacuum for Mother's
Day. Right, yeah, exactly.
Probably not the best thing.
Yeah.
And then some are also saying, you know, activity tracker or a Fitbit lower on the list. Mm-hmm. That's like getting mom a gym membership for Mother's Day. That is saying way too much, apparently, and they just don't want to get it. And then surprisingly, traditional Father's Day gifts such as shaving tools, socks, and ties at the bottom of the list. That's what they said. So, and then lastly, they said, you know, a gift card, while they are convenient, dads really don't want to get a gift card either to go out and pick their own gift, unless it's towards something like if everybody chipped in because they know they wanted something specific from a specific store, then it would be okay to do.
When we were talking off the air, one thing you could do is get dad, since we're talking about experiences rather than things, maybe check out some of those retreats at Mount Angel Abbey, you know, get him
absolutely
everybody chip in and get him a retreat out there, or Our Lady of Peace retreat house. I mean, there's no shortage of opportunities to get dad something meaningful that's an experience that he will always remember and grow from, versus like another tie.
Steve Ray was talking about his pilgrimages that are going around the world. Maybe I'll chip in together and get mom and dad a pilgrimage to someplace they've been wanting to go.
And while you're at Sunday Mass, make sure to say thank you to your spiritual fathers that you see, because it's Father's Day for them too.
All right. So wonderful ways. Hopefully that's inspired you in today's Second Cup.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco, family dentist, online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722. That's 503-252-1722.
Join Mater Dei Radio and Archbishop Alexander Sample as he prays the Hail, Holy Queen.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To Thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To Thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, O most gracious Advocate, Thine eyes of mercy towards us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of Thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon all of you, your families, your loved ones, and be with you this day and forever. Amen.
For more prayer resources, and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit materdeiradio.com.
Would you like to gain a deeper understanding of the Holy Mass? Hello, this is Terry Ross. Join me on Mater Dei Radio each Saturday afternoon at 4 and Sunday afternoon at 2 for the Glory of the Mass. Every weekend, we'll explore the rich history of sacred music within the Catholic liturgy. Increase your appreciation for the beauty and sanctity of Catholic sacred music with the Glory of the Mass Saturday and Sunday afternoons on Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Grab some coffee and take the morning blend with you anywhere you go. Listen to the podcast at materdeiradio.com.
It is 8:55 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, today will be a close repeat of yesterday. Open the windows this morning because the afternoon, we're getting into the low 80s. Overnight, we're in the 50s. And then tomorrow, we tick up a couple more degrees. Currently, it is 63 degrees in the Rose City.
And this is I Am They with From the Day. And on this Friday, you're tuned in to Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
So blind, my sin was before me. I was swallowed by pride. But out of the darkness, you brought me to your light. You showed me new mercy and opened up my eyes. Saved my soul till the very moment when I come home.
Is From the Day by I Am They, and you're listening to Mater Dei Radio, where it's 8:59.
And that is going to wrap it up. Another week gone by, Aaron. It's been a great week having
it's
you on the Morning
Blend. Thank you. Yes. David will be back, so you don't have to listen to me anymore
until the next time. But again, thank you so much for filling in today.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun, and that's going to wrap it up for us. Remember, tonight, Aaron, I'm putting the finishing touches on a new View from the Pew that's coming on at 7:30. But I'll have the podcast ready by this afternoon. Mm. Find out what Scott's first car was.
Oh, interesting.
We hope you have a very blessed Friday.